Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into The 33 Strategies of War by Robert Greene, a compelling exploration of the timeless tactics of war and their application beyond the battlefield. Published in 2006, this book offers a deep dive into the strategies that have shaped military history, distilling complex ideas into accessible and engaging vignettes. Drawing from a rich tapestry of historical periods and cultures, Greene reveals the enduring principles of conflict and competition that govern not only warfare, but also personal and professional life. Robert Greene, a distinguished author, playwright, and editor from Los Angeles, brings his extensive knowledge of classical studies from the University of California, Berkeley, and the University of Wisconsin-Madison to bear on this work. Known for his best-selling books such as Mastery, The 48 Laws of Power, and The Art of Seduction, Greene has a unique ability to uncover the underlying dynamics of power and strategy that influence human behavior and societal structures. The 33 Strategies of War is designed for a broad audience, appealing to thinkers and doers, history buffs, and psychologists alike. This book provides fascinating insights into human psychology and motivation, offering readers valuable lessons on navigating the complexities of modern life with strategic acumen. Whether you're interested in the art of war, the psychology of power, or the strategies behind successful leadership, this episode will equip you with the timeless wisdom of centuries of warfare and strategic thought. The 33 Strategies of War, a comprehensive guide to the subtle social game of everyday life. Introduction: Unlock the secrets of strategy. Dive deep into the human psyche. In the intricate dance of battle, a myriad of elements play their part: the cutting edge of technology, the robust fortitude of economic systems, and even the relentless spirit of discipline and ideology. Imagine the advantage of a nation, its landscape crisscrossed by the steel veins of modern railways and its factories humming with efficiency. Yet, history whispers tales of giants toppled by unseen foes, of superpowers outmaneuvered by the shadows of guerrilla fighters. It's a stark reminder that sheer might, in the form of advanced weaponry or economic behemoths, doesn't always clinch the hearts and minds of the people. Amid these multifaceted aspects of warfare, one cornerstone remains resolute: strategy. This art, more intricate than mere battle plans, hinges profoundly on understanding the human psyche. Navigating through the vast sea of strategies can be a daunting task. Yet, Robert Greene's compendium, The 33 Strategies of War, provides an illuminated path. While we might not explore every strategy Greene uncovers, we'll delve into some of the most compelling insights that hinge on the fundamental understanding of human nature. Imagine peering into the tactical minds that have shaped history, uncovering the psychological underpinnings that dictate the outcome of wars. Each strategy Greene offers is a thread in the complex tapestry of human conflict, woven with the understanding that, at its core, strategy is about grasping the intricate workings of the human mind. As we embark on this journey, prepare to uncover the secrets that lie at the heart of strategy, a realm where every maneuver is a reflection of deep psychological insight. Let's dive into the selected strategies that stand out for their ingenuity and their profound understanding of what it means to strategize in the shadow of human nature. Part 1. A Brush with Death: How a Near Execution Lit the Fire of Genius, in Dostoevsky. On a chilling morning in late December 1849, a young Fyodor Dostoevsky found himself amidst a grim procession in St. Petersburg, Russia. Shackled and shivering, he was led to a square where a stark sight greeted him: carts laden with coffins and soldiers poised with loaded rifles. An eerie silence hung as a priest intoned the last rites, a precursor to the death by firing squad pronounced upon him and his fellow convicts. Yet, as the fatal moment loomed, Dostoevsky's gaze landed on a distant golden spire bathed in sunlight, a beacon that abruptly vanished behind a cloud, mirroring his imminent plunge into eternal darkness. This brush with death wasn't something Dostoevsky had ever seriously contemplated. Only a few years before, his debut novel, Poor Folk, had catapulted him to literary fame. His radical political views, however, attracted the wrong kind of attention. Caught in a feverish tide of revolutionary fervor sweeping across Europe in 1848, Dostoevsky's dreams of upheaval and a voice for Russia's downtrodden led him straight into the arms of the Tsar's stringent security. Arrest and a harrowing stint in jail followed, culminating in what seemed to be his final march on that cold December morning. Faced with the specter of death, Dostoevsky experienced a profound revelation. The finite nature of his existence crystallized before him, imbuing him with a sense of boundless life should he escape the clutches of death. Miraculously, a twist of fate intervened. A last-minute commutation by the Tsar spared him the firing squad, sentencing him instead to hard labor in Siberia, a grim prospect, yet a lease on life nonetheless. In the shadow of death, Dostoevsky found rebirth. His subsequent letters convey an individual transformed, keenly aware of the preciousness of time and determined to embrace every moment. Siberia, rather than breaking him, reforged his resolve and creativity. Upon his return in 1854, writing no longer felt like a struggle but a liberation, yielding a prolific period that produced masterpieces such as Crime and Punishment, The Possessed, and The Brothers Karamazov. Dostoevsky's ordeal in Siberia might have elicited pity from his contemporaries, but for him, it was a crucible of growth. That cold December morning, teetering on the brink of death, instilled in him a profound gratitude for life's second chances. It enlightened him to the notion that the shadow of death can illuminate the path to our greatest achievements, teaching us to treasure each moment and fueling the flames of creativity and purpose. This profound transformation underscores a timeless lesson. In the face of mortality, we can discover the essence of life and the spark of undaunted will that defines the human spirit. Part 2. When backed into a corner, our true potential shines. The vast expanse of possibility that life offers can, paradoxically, be a heavy burden to shoulder. It's a double-edged sword. On one hand, the freedom to pursue paths that can lead to profound creation and meaning. On the other, the temptation to fritter away our hours in pursuits that, in the grand scheme, matter little. Fyodor Dostoevsky's life is a testament to this delicate balance between the heights of literary achievement and the depths of gambling and drinking. The crux of the matter lies in the unsettling vastness of freedom itself, often leaving us adrift in a sea of indecision. To avoid confronting the dizzying array of choices before us, we often seek refuge in the comfort of routine and habit. Yet life has a way of shattering this illusionary calm, thrusting us into situations that demand immediate action and clarity. Whether it's a looming deadline or unforeseen responsibilities, these moments of crisis ignite a sense of purpose and vitality within us, molding chaos into a clear path forward. However, once the storm passes, we find ourselves yearning for that spark of urgency that propelled us, wishing for a way to recapture that focused intensity. Generals and strategists throughout history have grappled with this quandary, seeking ways to instill a lasting fire in the hearts of their soldiers. While the power of motivational speeches has its place, the ancient Chinese philosopher Sun Tzu argued for a more tangible approach to awakening relentless resolve. According to Sun Tzu, true desperation and the resulting surge of spirit and determination come not from rousing words, but from being placed in a death ground, a situation with no retreat, where the only escape from annihilation is through conquering the adversary. It is in these moments, when every instinct screams for survival, that the greatest feats of courage and resolve are manifested. This concept of a death ground extends beyond the physical battlegrounds of history into the realm of personal development. It represents any circumstance where we find ourselves cornered, facing the precipice of failure, with no alternative but a daring leap forward. While living perpetually on this edge would be unsustainable, strategically placing ourselves in such scenarios can serve as a profound wake-up call, rekindling our innate drive and focus. Our environment inexorably shapes our psyche, lulling it into passivity when unchallenged. Yet, when faced with a death ground, our mental landscape shifts dramatically. We rediscover our latent potential, acting with a decisiveness and intensity that might have seemed beyond our reach. Such moments teach us an invaluable lesson. Within the crucible of extreme adversity lies the opportunity to transcend our perceived limits and embody the fullest expression of our capabilities. Part 3. Victory at what cost? The parable of Pyrrhus and the pitfalls of overambition. Leaving behind the ancient wisdom of China, we navigate the currents of time to 3rd century Italy, where Rome's embryonic ambitions are sparking conflicts across the Italian peninsula. Our story zeroes in on a lesser-known yet pivotal clash involving the city of Tarentum, a Greek cultural bastion that views the ascending Roman state with disdain. When Rome's patience with Tarentum's provocations wears thin, the stage is set for a confrontation that would serve as a cautionary tale for millennia. Enter Pyrrhus of Epirus, a monarch with dreams as lofty as his purported lineage from Achilles. Famed for his valor and strategical acumen, Pyrrhus envisions Italy not as an end, but as a means, a springboard for his grand designs on Greece. Commanding a force comprising thousands of infantry, cavalry, archers, and elephants, Pyrrhus lands in Italy, presenting Rome with an unprecedented challenge. The initial engagements between Rome and Pyrrhus are marked by shock and awe. The spectacle of charging elephants swings the tide of battle in Pyrrhus's favor. However, these victories are far from decisive. Despite forcing the Roman legions into retreat, Pyrrhus's forces suffer heavy losses, and the king himself is not spared from injury. The dream of an untroubled conquest of Italy begins to fray as Pyrrhus realizes the resilience of his opponent. Rome is not a city-state to be intimidated or easily vanquished. Pyrrhus's subsequent attempts to coerce Rome into a truce only steel the Republic's resolve, setting the stage for another bloody encounter at Asculum. Here, history repeats itself. Pyrrhus secures a victory that feels more like a defeat, with his ranks decimated and his ambitions crippled. The term Pyrrhic victory is born from this moment, a victory so costly that it negates any semblance of triumph. Pyrrhus's tale is punctuated by a relentless pursuit of conquest without regard for the enduring toll of such ambitions. His experience underscores a timeless lesson. The lust for victory can sometimes blind leaders to the true costs of their campaigns. Beyond immediate triumphs lie potential pitfalls, depleted resources, squandered goodwill, and a trail of enmity that can outlast any battlefield glory. This narrative invites reflection on the essence of strategic calculation. It prompts us to weigh our desires against the potential costs, to consider the longevity of our resources, and to understand the value of timing and patience. It reminds us that history is littered with the ambitions of those who, in pursuit of victory, overlooked the steep price of their endeavors. In this, the story of Pyrrhus serves not only as a historical account, but as a metaphor for our times. Whether in business, politics, or personal pursuits, the allure of immediate gain can often obscure the broader implications of our actions. Before embarking on battles of our own making, it behooves us to pause and consider. Is the prize worth the fight? Or are we risking a Pyrrhic victory that leaves us diminished rather than triumphant? In heeding the lesson of Pyrrhus, we may find the wisdom to choose our battles wisely and ensure that our victories are both meaningful and sustainable. Final summary. In the relentless march of days, we often find ourselves ensnared by the illusion of boundless time and options. This mirage breeds complacency, dulling our senses to the urgency of action and the necessity of determination. But strategic thinking, the ancient art that weaves together the threads of planning, foresight, and decisiveness, offers a sanctuary from the traps of passivity. Strategy beckons us to peer beyond the immediate horizon, to question the worth of our endeavors. It challenges us to consider not just the allure of victory, but the hidden costs and potentially Pyrrhic outcomes of our pursuits. Are the battles we choose anchored in purpose, or are they mere echoes of ambition unchecked? Strategy urges patience, reminding us that the right moment is not always the present one. But strategy also demands action, a leap into the fray with eyes wide open and resolve unshaken. It teaches us the power of placing ourselves on a metaphorical death ground, where retreat is not an option and the only way out is through. In these moments, when our backs are against the wall and failure looms large, we discover a reservoir of untapped strength. Urgency becomes our ally, clarity our weapon. Every decision, every move is imbued with significance. The battleground of life is strewn with choices, each beckoning with the promise of triumph or the peril of defeat. To navigate this landscape with wisdom, we must wield strategy not just as a tool, but as a lens through which we view our actions and aspirations. It's about understanding when to forge ahead and when to bide our time, recognizing that true victory is not just about conquering terrains, but also about mastering ourselves. In the embrace of strategy, we find the courage to confront challenges, the insight to calculate risks accurately, and the spirit to seize victory, not just on the fields of battle, but in the arenas of our lives. Let us march forth, not as prisoners of fate, but as architects of our destiny, guided by the timeless principles of strategic thought. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.